Good morning. We usually associate Sir James Galway with beautiful, soothing music, but this morning you're about to hear another side to the world-famous musician. His thoughts about the late Ian Paisley, the former First Minister, are brutal. Sir James also gets stuck into bankers, who he said were out for themselves. He also talks about his Irish identity and about being brainwashed as a young Protestant. There will be, no doubt, significant reaction to what you're about to hear. We'll play the interview after 10 o'clock this morning, but have a listen to how it unfolded when I asked Sir James Galway how he felt about Northern Ireland.
Do you keep across politics here?
No, I'm not into politics. I don't keep up with them because...
But you know that Northern Ireland's a better place now, obviously, that there's relative peace now.
Yeah, I do. But on the other hand, you know, when you look at all this whole stuff, whoever wins the day, if it happens to be a bunch of thugs, do you want to really live in a society that they rule?
What do you mean?
Well,
who are the thugs?
Well, the killers.
But who do you mean?
Well, I'm not sure who I mean because I'm not sure who's actually doing the killing. But whoever comes out on top, I would not want to be part of it. I mean, for example, in Germany, you would not like to be ruled by Nazis. You see? And we might have been if it had not been for Winston Churchill sticking to his guns.
You know, I just want to be clear as to what you mean. How are they likened to the Nazis?
I didn't say they were likened to the Nazis.
So what are you saying? I'm just trying to clarify.
I'm not sure what I'm saying because nobody brought me into this sort of...
Sure.
Conversation before.
Sure.
And it's, you know...
It's interesting because we all care about Northern Ireland, don't we?
Yeah.
And we look at the present situation.
I see what you mean. But wouldn't you say that it is immoral for one country to take over another country just because the other country is not so well armed? Wouldn't you think that was immoral? Well, let me put this to you. Would you not think that 800 years ago what the British did was immoral and it kept doing it and it's still immoral? Hmm. I mean, I'm not I would like Ireland to be Ireland. And when people ask me, where do you come from? I said, Ireland. They said, oh, you're Irish. I say, yes, I'm Irish.
You don't consider yourself to be Northern Irish?
No, I'm Irish.
What's the difference?
It's very complicated. Very complicated. They say, well, how do you become a sir? I said, well, because I come from the British occupied part of Ireland.
Okay.
You see, and then, you see, when I grew up, We grew up as Protestants and we were brainwashed to the Protestant ethic and to their way of thinking. For example, we knew all the sites of London, Trafalgar Square and Buckingham Palace and all that, but we didn't know Stormont.
Brainwashed by whom?
Well, by the people by the Presbyterians who made the school systems separate. If they'd all been together in the first place, we may not have so many problems. But I believe they were the ones who made it so that one, if you were Catholic, you got a good education from the Jesuits. And if you weren't, you got a second-class one from somebody else.
What would make Northern Ireland a better place?
Oh.
How do we resolve the past that we have, these differences that we have?
I think, well, the education system has to stop and it has to be Catholics, Protestants, Presbyterians, everybody together, all under the same roof.
Or maybe, and I know you're not going to agree with this, or maybe... Actually, religion causes more division, and if more people became less religious, there would be less conflict.
Let's talk about Ian Paisley. Now, he was a religious leader. How many people do you think he was responsible for killing indirectly? by planting the thoughts of violence and no surrender in the heads of people who had no more sense.
How many people do you think?
I don't know. That's a question.
Well, the inference is you think he was responsible for some.
Well, I'm sure he was because, I mean, he wasn't exactly preaching let's all live together, was he?
He was the man, Sir James, who, towards the end of his political career, no doubt his family would argue, took a very courageous step to sit down with Martin McGuinness.
Maybe
and all the risk that comes with that.
Maybe he didn't have any choice. I mean, it might have gotten to that.
Do you admire Paisley and McGuinness for what they've done?
Well, I never admired Paisley, ever. Because I think he was, on paper, a man of God, but in reality, I don't think he was. I mean, how could you justify setting one side against another?
Who are you to judge, Sir James, whether someone is a man of God? That's not for you to judge, is it?
Well, no, it's not. It's not.
Well, those are pretty extraordinary words from Sir James Galway this morning, in particular about the late Ian Paisley, the former First Minister of Northern Ireland. The DUP MP, Gregory Campbell, was on the phone ready to come on this morning and has hung up, saying he will not participate in the programme now. Morning, Robert.
Your man Galway, that boy James Galway there, he's Sir James Galway, isn't he?
Yes.
Well, if he's so anti-British, he gave him his title of Sir. Why does he not give that up? It's like the man's uneducated and any facts at all in this country, when you hear him talking there. Okay, Paisley created bigots. The Republican movement created bigots too. And he needn't blame the Presbyterian Church on it all either, or talk about education. If people forget about the past, cut out the bigotry. More integrated schools, educate the youth together, and let everybody have their own faith. Keep the faith out of politics and keep it out of education. Let families take their own children to their churches. I don't think the Presbyterian Church preached hatred. Like, everybody mixes up the Free Presbyterian Church that Paisley created to the ordinary Presbyterians. But if you go to the Free Presbyterians in Scotland, they're no more like Free Presbyterians that Paisley created or anything else. Sure, Paisley created the DUP. What are they?
Well, they're a political party with a huge mandate. That's what they are, Robert. Here, Jim Wilson's called us this morning as well.
Because he wanted power.
Morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
There will be a lot of reaction to that interview. More to come after 10 o'clock this morning, Jim.
Yes, well, Stephen, I listened to the slice of it that you gave, and I feel that, you know that I had no great love for Paisley because he denied the loyalist people and loyalist community at a later date in his career. But, listening to James Galway there, I believe he's just lost the plot because, personally, I think, he has to remember where he came from and how he got his success and his fame. He was a young Protestant. He was in a band and learned the flute. You know, number one, that's part of culture. That's part of our identity. It's that stuff there. And he's went away now and he's turning saying the British occupation. So I'm beginning to wonder, how a young lad who was in a band, I mean, who is now rethinking what he was and who he was, and now denying all those things that made him what he is today.
He said he was brainwashed. Sir James Galway said he was brainwashed as a young Protestant growing up.
Yeah, well, who's he been brainwashed with to deny his culture? Who's been brainwashed over the years of him being
He's not denying his culture, is he? He's giving his view.
Of course he is. You know, James Galway would not have said this a lot of years back there when he was learning the flute, when he was becoming what he was becoming as an emissary for us, what we would have seen the part of the Protestant, because he came through the bonds, and the bonds is part of the loyalist Scope Unionist culture. And what I see is, I see him on night and on, all those things. So that's why I actually said I think he's lost the plot. And sometimes when you get
because you play in a flute band, Jim Wilson, doesn't mean you have to be a loyalist all your days. Number one, he's entitled to a view. He's entitled to change his view if he wants to.
Yes, well, he can change, and that's the point that I'm making. The point that I'm making that I believe that he's denying part of the cultural identity that he had when he became a sir or a lord or whatever it is he is now. Because
he's a sir.
His growing
up, James Galway.
Well, Sir James Galway. So why did he take the sir if he's so anti-British now? If he's so anti-British, why did he accept the sir?
He didn't say he was anti-British. Well,
how is he not if he's saying this is not occupation? How is he not anti-British if he's saying this is an occupation? That the British are in Northern Ireland and occupying them? Because that's Republican ethos. So this is an occupied country. This is our country.
Malachy O'Doherty?
The British are here because we want the British to be here.
Yeah, but Jim, I mean, what worries me is this feeling that that your culture and your identity are something that are branded on you at birth and that you have an obligation to stay with, that they stay with you like the colour of your eyes, and clearly they don't. And I mean,
because I'm born a Protestant, that means that later years I can turn around and deny who I was, who I am, and what, just because...
Well, you might interpret it differently, and I mean, this
convinces me that I've been brainwashed.
No, I'm not saying you've been brainwashed. I'm not saying you should say you're being brainwashed, but I'm saying that many, many people in Northern Ireland go away and they see things from a different perspective and they change their thinking about how they grew up.
I have changed my thinking from a young loyalist to them. I am working with Catholics and Republicans and working. Let me show, you know, that didn't mean that, you know, I was brainwashed. It didn't mean that I was wrong. It didn't mean all the things that I believed in. As a younger lad, I mean, it means that I want to move on. I want to make a better society for myself.
Well, and all credit to you, but does that not also mean that you would be in some way critical of the way things were in the past, even within your own community?
Yes, but the things were in the past the way they were because of both societies, not just because I'm a Protestant or because I had a view on what was happening.
The other reality here, of course, is that Sir James Galway, as an accomplished musician, he tours around the world. He has a name that is known around the world. Yeah. So his thoughts that the British are occupying a part of Ireland, I don't know if that copy, probably will now, be picked up when you get someone as famous as Sir James saying something like this. Is that the message that will be associated with him now in terms of his view on Northern Ireland, that he was brainwashed around the world?
I think more than that. I think that is the understanding that he is hearing reflected back to him in France and Switzerland. I think when he is abroad and people talk to him about Northern Ireland, what he is hearing is an easy, simple understanding that Ireland is a colonised country that is occupied by the British.
OK, listen, let's just do this, because it's 21 minutes past nine. Here's the number, 08459 555 678. I'm very aware at this time of the morning, when lots of you are getting in and out of a car in the mornings, that you might not have heard this. So we will play it again in a moment or two. William, morning to you, William.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, William.
Although James might be a bit naive, as he's been out of the country for a long time, his views on Paisley are absolutely correct.
Well, this is Ian Paisley, the former First Minister, is a man who many would argue risked his political career to sit down with Martin McGuinness. That iconic image of the Never Man sitting down with a leader of Sinn Féin.
But this is a man who also said in the 70s that he didn't care for power or position. He would have sold his soul to get into the First Minister's job.
Well, he would deny that, wouldn't he? But he's not around anymore to do that, which is part of this story, William, that here's a man who cannot defend himself. We've asked, as I said, Gregory Campbell was due to come on this morning to defend Mr. Paisley. He doesn't want to do so now.
Stephen, that's not true.
Hold on, because I need to be fair to Gregory. Gregory says he doesn't want to come on now for legal reasons. Let's just be accurate. And we did ask the family as well. They haven't come back to us officially on air. Malachy in Belfast. Morning to you, Malachy.
Hey, Stephen.
Go ahead, Malachy.
I've listened to the debate. I've listened to Jim Wilson on your show many a time. I think Jim Wilson lives in Cuckoo Land. I mean Cuckoo Land. As a young loyalist, he joined an organisation to shoot Catholics. Why did he do that? The reason why he'd done that was because of people like Ian Paisley, who told him, United Ireland's coming, United Ireland's coming. It was never going to come. Paisley was a sectarian bigot who drove young Protestants into shooting innocent Catholics.
Ian Paisley never supported violence by loyalist paramilitaries. He opposed it throughout his whole career.
Yes, well, what he'd done was, you know, no surrender.
Hold on.
But Jim Wilson's always on about the Protestant culture. I've worked and lived with Protestant guys my whole life. See this jumping around bonfires, getting people reared up with drink, and then going out the next day and banging drums up and down roads where Catholics live. That is not a culture.
Go on, Jim.
That is just a sectarian.
I suppose my friend there would say that it had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that they were bombing, shooting and murdering my people and trying to put them in the United States. I suppose that had absolutely nothing to do with my reason for joining paramilitary.
Well, Jim,
he's the one that lives in Clout. No, let me finish, Stephen. He's the one that lives in Clout, Cuckoo Land. And don't just turn around and jump on me and that. But see if anyone's brainwashed in this, what we're talking about here. I believe it's James Galway who's been brainwashed by all those people that he has met over the years who have listened to Republican ideology throughout the world, because the Provos have had the greatest propaganda machine that probably terrorism has ever seen. And all the friends that James Galway now falls in with and sat and listened to them around their cocktail tables and all the rest. So I think that's what's brainwashed James Galway. And it's the reverse, you know. And I do not. I'm a lover of Paisley because he denied the loyalist people later on. But Paisley wasn't the be-all and start-all of this conflict. The Republican movement, who will not apologise to this country and these people for what they foisted upon us, are the ones that drew me into violence and into what I was engaged in as a young
person. Can I answer that, Jim?
Guy to turn in and answer that.
Can I answer that? Let me answer that very simply. You went into violence and you're always on about the Provos and the Republicanism. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Provo. Right? Never was. Yet, when I was a young lad growing up in Belfast, my biggest fear on building sites was getting shot dead by Protestant paramilitaries simply because I was a Roman Catholic. Nothing to do with republicanism. And
that would have been a fear of everyone who worked in Belfast.
You and your combatants, 90% of people that you shot dead or the UVF shot dead were innocent Catholics. They weren't Provies and they weren't ARA people. They were innocent Catholics. And the reason that you've done that, because people like you had it in your heads that Roman Catholics were the enemy. And to this day, if you change the Roman Catholic hatred towards Muslims, Chinese, blacks, that's why all these people are attacked. Your culture and your people, as you call them, just want a Protestant Ulster for a Protestant people, full stop. And no one else in this country should have a look in. And that's still your ethos today. You're always on about not trusting the Provies and not trusting Sinn Féin. Remember this, mate, and this is very important, which you've never said. When the professional IRA packed their armed struggle in, put their guns away and went into politics, that got voted in, the UVF to this day never handed in weapons, ruled the Protestant communities by terror. And
where do you live? Where do you live?
I don't know where you live. You live in absolute...
Where do you live? Was there not a decommissioning?
Protection money?
Was there not a decommissioning? Was there not innocent Protestants killed?
Do protection money. And tell me this, then, Jim.
Explain to me. Answer the question.
Go. Go ahead.
We live in Clout, Cuckoo Land because there was decommissioning by the loyalists, and there was also innocent Protestants killed in this country, and there was sectarianism from the Republican movement. So I believe that you're the one that lives in Clout, Cuckoo Land. Because get real, son, because you're not in the real world, and to say that you're not a Republican, you know, you're just saying exactly how Republicans sound.
No, Jim, you see, you live in the land where you're Protestant.
Well, I live in the land where I work with cross community, so I'm a bigot, a sectarianist.
You're a cross community worker. Every single flag that your people put up in this country is to warn off people from moving into your areas. And the reason why you do that...
rubbish again.
Isn't that what Catholic is going to do in the area that you live
you're
in?
Absolute rubbish.
Because you're wrong protection records.
Who's
wrong?
Who's using it? I've never involved. I've never accused.
Hold on.
I've never been tried for murder or anything.
Exactly. Hold on. Stop, you two. Now, Jim Wilson, you will want to defend yourself immediately there because you would deny what's just been said. Go ahead, Jim.
Stephen, let me tell you something. Things aren't great in loyalist Protestant areas, and they haven't been. We understand that, but it's not a hell of a lot of difference from what it is in nationalist areas. There's gangsters, there's scumbags that are running about
there.
Dealing with them. And for him to turn around and classify all loyalist people in the way that he did, that's just like a guy that was on your program not so long ago.
Okay.
He had to apologize because he labeled all my kids and all the kids in our community as we scumbags and we drug dealers and we gangsters.
Now,
the reality of this is that guy, whoever he is, has got a mindset that's absolutely abhorrent to what we should be thinking and how we should be moving
forward. Maybe I can bring this back to what we're actually talking about today. And let's